Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. We are kicking off today's program with a long look at Penn State's 2018 recruiting class. Andy's list of favorite players we're going to get to. That's Andrew Pichet. I failed to introduce you, but everybody knows.
I'm sitting in for Greg Pickle again.
You heard him on Monday. He's back with us now. We're going to start with your favorite players in the class because I like to hear who they are, and I like to hear why they're your favorite. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about everybody in the class at some point in this hour. We're calling it the Meet the Class edition. Just a look at who all these guys are. We're going to start by talking about two targets who, as of this recording, we're recording it before they announced their decision, Solomon Enos, Rasheed Walker. Let's start with those guys before we get into your favorites. We'll get into all the other guys in the class who have signed already. There's not a whole lot of dramatics to go before the second round of National Signing Day, but Rasheed Walker, in your opinion, how good can he be? 6'6", 300 right now. He's rare.
He's an NFL caliber talent offensive lineman. That's the bottom line. And he looks physically like he could play sooner than later. Do you know what I mean? Like, I tend to think of offensive linemen in a non-forced issue as being 18 to 24 month minimums. And when I look at Rasheed, I still think it's 12 months. I mean, he looks a little bit different and a little more ready, but we know they're at the level Penn State is now with their program and recruiting that 12 months should be the minimum for an offensive lineman. I like to go 18 to 24 because there's a building stack process, and Penn State's there. If you think about it now, going into this season, and say he commits and he becomes part of the 18 recruiting class and comes this fall, well, he comes in at 12 or 13 or 14. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're 11 deep right now as we're looking at it. Heading into the 18 season, they're like 10 or 11 deep.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're in a completely different position. So there's not a force to it anymore. So I think that's a little bit different. But man, oh man, he's a unique talent. And there's a reason Ohio State came in hard at him for the end.
For sure.
There's a very good reason. And like we said on Monday, I still think it's a 50-50 proposition. You think it's more important than I do? But we agree to disagree.
Yeah, I do. I think we'll maybe by the time you listen to this, you'll have found out what Rasheed Walker is doing. But I think the importance here, I think he's more important than you do because Penn State has not really they've had a lot of success moving guys for maybe guard to tackle, and you look at Ryan Bates and guys like that. Will Fries is somebody who's come in who they've liked, who as a redshirt freshman established himself as maybe the franchise quote-unquote left tackle. But to get prototypical tackles is a big deal. It's the next phase of offensive line recruiting for Penn State. So he's important. Solomon Enos is the other guy. We'll find out, a four-star wide receiver. I don't know. Importance here, anytime you can get a great playmaker, which they believe Solomon Enos to be, is important. And a legacy. It's important.
That's important at Penn State.
But Penn State's wide receiver depth chart is in pretty good shape. Let's put it that way.
It's in really good shape. And I think, as I said Monday, and I'll reiterate, that the departure of Josh Gattis suddenly, and with good reason, when Little Nick comes calling, you got to answer that call.
Little Nick.
That's what they call him in Alabama. Okay. I have a little inside information. That's just the term they use inside Alabama. He's not a very large man in stature. But when he comes calling, you got to say yes. And especially with the offer he got. I think this is a little collateral damage from that, but I don't think the position at Penn State is in any way, shape, or form on shaky ground.
They'll be okay. Yeah, they'll be all right. Let's get into your favorite players here. To define favorites, it's guys you've watched their film.
Yep.
Who stand out to you for any number of reasons.
Yep. And I think the first guy on my list goes to what is a bigger picture and a smaller picture type thing. The bigger picture is the clear delineation between where Penn State's going and where it is and where it's very close to becoming, which is a sort of one of those 10 teams that you talk about every year as being a potential college football playoff. Their shortcoming, again, it was pretty clear this year, was up front to a degree on both sides of the ball, but more to me, it stood out on the defensive side of the ball, interior wise. They don't have a game wrecker on the inside. And I don't mean like every single play. I'm talking those 3 to 5 impact plays a game from that defensive tackle and that guy that moves guys around and does a lot of the dirty work that allows others to run free. And they don't have it. And I think PJ Mustipher might be potentially that guy down the road. That's why, to me, he's number one on my list. It's the biggest hole that Penn State has as an elite football program in the college football playoff era. I really honestly believe that. Skill position wise, I think they're ahead of some others, but I think that is the one position that is the black hole that is very obvious and glaring. And it's not like James Franklin and his staff don't know it. They know it. They did very well with the Cothrans last year, but it simply was not that impact. They were able to cover that up a little bit. You want that game wrecker because they're stocking defensive ends. Look at the roster right now.
They're loaded.
And look at what they're recruiting.
They're loaded.
They are getting what you would say is a skill position on the defensive side of the ball, the end, the split DN, the whole, you know, your DNs. Dude, they're not having a problem there. It's inside. I've always said the D-tackle is one of the hardest positions to recruit, and it's the most undervalued. That's why I think Mustipher goes right to the top of my list.
He's at the top of mine, too. We will definitely agree to agree on that one. And nice. I think that there's an opportunity, there's a chance here, and it's not to disrespect Curtis Cothran and Parker Cothran in the least, but there's a possibility of addition by subtraction. I don't know if it's in 2018 or not. That defensive, the pass rush in general has a chance to be really, really, really good next year because they made an investment in 2017 for Shane Simmons, for Shaka Toney, for those guys.
Yetur Gross Matos.
Those guys took some lumps. They were not experienced. They learned some lessons along the way. They weren't as impactful as you wanted, and they didn't play as many snaps as you wanted, all that stuff. But
don't care.
All of them showed something.
11 games. They all got 11 games. That's
to see those guys coming back with Ryan Buchholz and Torrence Brown, they're in good shape there. And you throw
Sharif Miller,
you throw in Micah Parsons will rush the quarterback if he plays, no matter where he plays.
At some point.
At some point. But the defensive tackle issue has been something. There have been stumbles and things that maybe were out of Penn State's control that they were just getting a bunch of 3-stars. And it's great. I think with probably Windsor and Kevin Givens are your starters, there's going to be room in that rotation. And PJ Mustipher as a state champion wrestler, you know, I love that. At 6'4", 290 right now, with his ability to use his hands and leverage and all that stuff, he could really defy what the norms are at that position and play as a freshman.
It's a.
I love that pick.
He fills a hole for Penn State, I think.
Definitely.
Maybe sooner than later, but later would be okay.
Yeah.
Don't rush it because you've shown that you can still play defense without it.
Yeah.
But looking down the future, I think they change the dynamic a little bit.
Yep. Who's number two on your list?
So interesting. I don't know if you would have put him there. I love Fred Scruggs. I absolutely think he is a Big Ten, potentially NFL center. I think Connor McGovern did a great job. But for me, I like a clear-cut anchor. Like Connor McGovern moved from guard to center, and it was a good move. I like a guy I think Fred Scruggs is a center. He could play guard, maybe.
I think center far and away is a more appropriate position for him than a guard.
I agree. That is your center of the future when Connor McGovern is done. And I think he's got the right size, the right athleticism. I like his little bit of edginess to him.
Yeah.
And I think he's a vocal type player. He's not afraid to stand out. And as a leader and the center making all those calls and stuff, that's a good trait to have. So I'm taking an intangible into the equation here. But I just think that it is an important position across the offensive line that you have an anchor that's identifiable. He's that, and that's why I think he goes to number two for me.
I like the, you know, not knowing Scruggs. You know, the vocal thing is a big deal. I am, I think the edginess, the physical, the desire to finish, it's something that Penn State's looking for anyway. He brings that to the table. He was important. I wasn't sure, you know, my amateur eye watching his film, if I could envision him being out on the move in the open field picking off a linebacker. I didn't Correct. Know if that was part of his game or not. So at the center spot where you're not asked to do that, you're not pulling, you're not doing that kind Correct. Of thing. For him to just be able to make the calls, punish people inside, it's perfect for him at center. They won't need him to move the guard. It's hard to find true center type
it
prospects.
Is. I think it
to,
is hard.
You know, it's hard for us and it's hard for me to really circle, okay, what attributes make him a center? Connor McGovern, right. smart, physical, tough, moves well. He played center in high school. Scruggs, same deal. I could definitely see him moving in there. And you have a guy like Mike Miranda who doesn't have to do that then. He can play
right,
guard.
Right. So I think that's why he's my number two. My number three is a jack of all trades. I've seen him play high school football. I just think Charlie Catcher is going to be an impactful player for Penn State somewhere, some point. I think you could play him on special teams right away. I don't know where he plays. I don't know where he plays on a college football field. I'm not sure. I just know that the one thing is I don't care where it is. I know he is going to impact the football game. Maybe he's a three-year special teams, becomes a special teams captain, and then in a fourth year becomes a single position on one side of the ball. I mean, I don't know where he plays, but I just know that he's going to get bigger, stronger. He's already fast. He has a keen sense of football IQ that is unlike any others, to the point where when you saw him make one mistake his high school senior year, my jaw dropped because I was like, oh, dude, Charlie made a bad decision, which is so rare for him.
Yeah.
I just think that that he loved Penn State and Penn State loved him. That was a match made in heaven. But I think they're going to reap the benefit of that sooner than later on a smaller level. But over the course of time, I think he's one of those kids that builds that you go, wow, Charlie was a three-star.
Yeah.
And he becomes an impactful player because he impacts the football game on many different ways.
6'3", 210. There's some transition, I assume, in his future. He impacted the game as a wide receiver, punt returner.
D-back,
he did everything
safety.
At Cumberland Valley.
Is played linebacker.
His frame, it looks to be big enough to get up to that 6'3", 235.
Absolutely.
And make an impact in all kinds of ways. I like that insight on him. He's a hard guy to figure in this class. Gets slept on a little bit. We're going to continue talking about Penn State's 18 class. We're going to look at all the different players in the O-line and D-line coming up right after this. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.